Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
I'm with Skip. Odell Beckham's a Patriot. I can see it coming. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Packed today, Matt Barnes, Albert Breer, Chris Broussard, NBA All-Star Weekend. Joy Taylor is joining me. Looks like, Joy, you had a great weekend. I was in the wind and rain. Looks like you had a warm weekend.
I had a very nice Valentine's Day.
Little Mexico?
Yes. Earl took me to Mexico to Cabo.
You guys are in that stage of your relationship is just all fun.
Changes?
Yes.
That's not the plan.
I mean, they're still loving stuff. It's just a lot more variables. Great to have you in, everybody. You know, it's funny about, I've said before, I'm divorced and remarried very happy. And sports divorces are interesting. Generally, when you have a big sports divorce, and this is the way it would be great if this always worked in life, both sides can reasonably claim they won. Remember Shaq and Kobe? Shaq and Kobe broke up. They won 3 championships. We thought it would be 8. They broke up. But in the end, Shaq won a title. Kobe Bryant won 2 titles. It's pretty good, right? I mean, Shaq went on to have another 3 or 4 great years. He's had a remarkable post-NBA career. Kobe won a couple of championships. That was a very good divorce. You know, I'm watching Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. They had a divorce, too. Has there ever been a more lopsided divorce than that one? 2.5 years after they broke up. Kevin Durant's now got 2 titles, 2 MVP finals, favored for a 3rd. This weekend, he was named the All-Star Game MVP. It's like he's playing a different game. If he has a great second half, he's getting into that territory that he's being argued now as the best current player in the NBA on perhaps the greatest team we've ever seen in the NBA. I think it's probably 2nd to MJ's Bulls. And then the last 2.5 years, Westbrook did win an MVP, but has had 2 ugly first-round playoff exits. One, where he was imploding with Utah fans. He had another surgery. His shot is completely broken. And as Durant yesterday was winning the MVP in the All-Star game joyfully, having fun, it's like he's playing a different game. Westbrook was 1 for 8 on threes, and it looked like he stole the MVP from Giannis and gave it to Kevin Durant because Giannis was winning it. Westbrook came in, took a lot of shots, and killed the momentum for Giannis. Am I crazy here? This is like as bad as a divorce gets in sports. I mean, think about it. Peyton Manning left the Colts. Everybody was freaking out. Yes, Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl. But the Colts have made the playoffs 4 times, including 1 AFC championship with Andrew Luck. And it looks like they got 9 draft picks and $115 million. Indianapolis and Andrew Luck are set for the next half decade. I mean, Brett Favre and the Packers. Brett Favre went to an NFC championship with Minnesota, where he arguably had his best season ever with the Vikings. The Packers went on to win a championship, so they were fine with Aaron Rodgers. And Montana and the 49ers. Everybody thought that was going to be the ugliest divorce. Montana got the Chiefs to the AFC championship, couple of really good years in KC, and Steve Young won another Super Bowl title for the 49ers. But when I watched this KD Westbrook thing, Westbrook, for about an hour, you thought, okay, maybe this will work out. It's getting worse by the week. 4 years from now, you're going to owe Westbrook $47 million. 4 years from now, he's a broken player now. And every time they play together, I sit to myself and I think, man, you enabled the wrong guy, OKC. You enabled the wrong guy. Kevin Durant said in a published story, when they broke up, OKC enabled Westbrook. Wouldn't coach him up. Wouldn't tell him he was difficult to play with. So whether or not OKC wants to blame itself, the way it landed for Durant is you enabled the wrong guy. But you got Westbrook now, who was awful yesterday, had a plus minus of minus 19, difficult, broken, rigid, fights with the press, uncertainty with fans, and you watch him yesterday, he's a shell of himself. He's just not the same player. And we still got 4 big years on that contract. And Kevin Durant, in his prime, never been better. He's floating above the floor, is going to win another championship. This is going to be called the greatest basketball team ever. And then he's going to have multiple teams fighting over him. Knicks, Celtics, Kyrie, Lakers, Warriors. Man. Most of these sports divorces, actually, both teams win. You better hope in OKC, Westbrook continues to pass more than shoot, and they can get past the first round. Because yesterday, KD and Westbrook in the same All-Star game, Kevin Durant is pulling away in that divorce. Adam Silver, let me shift gears, is the commissioner of the NBA. He stated, and I think this is true, quote, nobody likes to see players demanding trades while under contract. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said this weekend that Anthony Davis's team mishandled the trade request, and Kevin Garnett, Anthony Davis's trade was a bit unprofessional. Let me ask everybody this. Do you like honesty? I do. You know how somebody says, hey, do you want the good news or the bad news first? Joy, what do you say?
Bad news.
I'm the same way. I think most people are like, okay, give me the crap. Just tell me the bad stuff.
Well, because also I may decide what the good news is from it. So if you start with the good news, you may be twisting the narrative. So just tell me what it is.
Okay. And I think I agree with Joy. And the reason we want that is, listen, we're almost everybody watching this show and listening takes the bad news first. And the reason is, okay, be honest, be upfront. It can't be that bad. Let me solve the problem. That's what you're basically saying. Okay, let me solve the problem. So Anthony Davis could have done it the way LeBron did. No warning whatsoever. Out of town, you get nothing for him. In Cleveland, they burned his jersey. Anthony Davis could have done it the way Carmelo did. Carmelo's like, I'm out of here. And I'll give you a little warning. And you burn his jersey too. Or you could do like Kawhi Leonard. Literally, you're missing. What country is he in? What hospital? Where'd he go? And the Spurs wanted to burn his jersey. But Clutch Sports and Anthony Davis were hyper-aggressive. What they were is the opposite of passive-aggressive. And now everybody's hammering them. So let me ask you, as a fan, as a consumer, as a GM, as an owner, don't you want your star to be brutally honest? Give me the bad news first. So therefore, you have a heads up and you have time to get draft picks and players. Because you burn LeBron's jersey, you burn Melo's jersey. So Anthony Davis told you a year and a half out, this is not working for me. NFL people running our NBA team, you're not committed, don't like the GM coach, I'm out. And you want to burn his jersey. There's a reason everybody says good news or bad news. We all say, I'll take the bad news first. Because you want the ability to get the time to make it the least bad it will be. And the Pelicans acted like children. Lakers offered them multiple picks and multiple players. The Indiana Pacers, by the way, had no emotion. When Paul George said, we're out of here, I'm out of here, I'm leaving, what do the Pacers do? All right. An hour later, they were on the phone, Kevin Pritchard. They got Victor Oladipo. They got Sabonis. They got a bunch of good players. Indiana took the emotion out of it. Indiana said, give me the bad news. Paul George said, I want out. Indiana went, damn. All right, let's make it work. The Pelicans said, give me the good news, give me the bad news first. And Anthony Davis said, I want out. And the Pelicans pouted. You don't get it, do you? Do the Pelicans not get this? There is never, aren't we all seeking honesty? don't we all want bad news up front so we have time to engineer a good trade, good therapy, good pieces to reassemble what we had? It's amazing to me. I will always take a superstar coming up to me and saying, this is a bad organization. I want out. What terrifies me is I literally, like Pat Riley said in Miami, he said that last couple months with LeBron, nobody was communicating. You're having to guess what the superstar's thinking. Is he staying? Is he going? Can I move him? Can I depend? Can I commit?
Well, what's worse than the silent treatment?
Nothing in the world is worse. I mean, when my wife and I used to argue, I just eventually gave up. But when we used to have real fights, I used to always say, come on, scream at me. Let's go. Let's go. Tell me what the worst is when she's simmering and there's steam coming out and she's not talking to me. So everybody out here is Kevin Garnett, the commissioner, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Everybody's upset with Kevin, with Anthony Davis. And my takeaway is always, there is a reason. What do you want, the good news or the bad news? We all say, give me the bad news. So you can, okay, let me reassemble this puppy as much as I possibly can because we're broken here. I just don't get it. What do you want these athletes and these superstars to do? By the way, Anthony Davis this weekend talked about where he's going. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
All 29 of the teams are on my
Everyone's
list.
Everyone's on the list.
I don't have a preferred destination. Like I said, I just want to win. You know, they ask me big market, small market. I don't care. You know, I want to win. You know, and obviously whatever team, you know, I get traded to, you know, play for it that year or whatever. If I get traded, I'm not sure. But just make the best of it. And then, you know, when free agency comes, see what happens. You know, I can't tell the future, but all 29 teams are on the list.
So, no. So just to follow real quick, so people who had reported, it's the Lakers and then it's the Knicks.
I never gave a destination.
Well, we all know it's not 29 teams. Because if you want to go to somebody that can win, it knocks it down to about 7-8 teams, 10 maybe. But there you go. Don't blame the star because you have a lousy organization and he's brutally, aggressively upfront and honest. He gave you bad news. Your job to be unemotional and fix it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Yesterday, you know, Anthony Davis came out, and there's always two stories. There's the story you're being sold, and then there's the real story. And Anthony Davis came out. I just let you listen to that bite. It's, hey, all 29 teams, you know, I'm out there, I'm open for business, and that's a bunch of nonsense. Anthony Davis is represented by Clutch Sports. LeBron is represented by Clutch Sports. Clutch Sports exists, though Rich Paul is the head of it. It exists because of LeBron. If LeBron wasn't one of the greatest basketball players, maybe the best of all time, this whole story would not be here, right? Okay? So LeBron's been cool, brings along friends along for the ride. They're more than competent, but it has been created because of the empire of LeBron. I just want you to think about this. So Clutch Sports was very hyper-aggressive, maybe too much, but I didn't have a problem with it. They came out and they said, we want out. And the NBA pushed back and Stars pushed back and everybody pushes back. And it was kind of, you know, it was kind of uncomfortable. I didn't have a problem with it. A lot of people did. I'd rather be aggressive than passive-aggressive. But now they're going the other way. Well, you know, it will play for anybody because they got their hand slapped. They were a little aggressive. Clutch Sports, connected to LeBron, like it or not, was too aggressive, and people clapped back and said, no, you're not running the league. And they felt it, and Clutch Sports was calling everybody around the league, all the media, and saying, hey, let's slow this thing down. We got in a little trouble. Commissioner didn't like it. League didn't like it. Ticked off the Pelicans. Broadcasters didn't like it. Charles Barkley said it was collusion. It was ugly, right? So now they're overcompensating. But one of the reasons I think Anthony Davis is probably 90% a Laker is really simple. LeBron James has been the face of this league. Warriors are the best team. LeBron's been the face of this league for now 10 to 12 years. Whether you think he's this or think he's that, Michael Jordan was the face of the league for about 10 years. There were a bunch of other good players around. Charles Barkley was a good player. Akeem was a good player. A lot of good teams around. Okay, but Michael was kind of the face of the league for about 10 years. LeBron's been the face of the league. And during that, Kobe was great. You know, we've had Paul Pierce. We've had good teams, big three. LeBron's been the face of the league. And for 15 years, this has been a real big boy business. LeBron's going to end up owning one of these teams. That's big boy money. That's Michael Jordan, LeBron, Magic. Not many guys have done that, right? Well, what happens if Clutch Sports and Anthony Davis don't go to the Lakers? It is a really, really frightening tipping point for LeBron's career. He'll be in year 17, had an injury on a weak to slightly below average team. Luke Walton will probably be getting fired. And the narrative that nobody wants to play with LeBron will be heightened. There's a reason multiple stories have said there is tension in the Laker building, because LeBron knows what I just said is absolutely true. LeBron's on the back nine of his career, but like Tom Brady, he wants to extend it. Kobe wanted to extend it. Shaq wanted to extend it. Stars want to extend it. You know, car racing, NASCAR, Daytona 500, that's one of the only sports guys have 15 years of prime left and they're like, I'm out. Generally, you're trying to extend the championship window and just extend the big money window and the you matter window. If Anthony Davis doesn't go to LeBron, there's other guys out there, but that is overwhelmingly because Anthony Davis and his connection to Clutch Sports, that is overwhelmingly the best option. Perhaps the best fit, I'm not sure of that. But there's a reason all these reports are out there. There's tension in that building. Everybody can feel it. Because if we get to the end of this season and the Lakers are a first and out playoff team or not a playoff team, and Anthony Davis does not come to Los Angeles and LeBron, it is a tipping point moment in his career. The guy who's run the league is no longer the most important guy in the league. That would be a massive moment for this sport.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Well, Matt Barnes played for a decade and a half, won a title with the Warriors. You know him as a Laker and a Warrior and a Clipper. Let's bring on Matt Barnes, NBA champ. Great to have him. Stylish as always on a Monday. Matt Barnes. Hey. You know, I was saying this earlier, is that, you know, when Shaq and Kobe split, Matt, Shaq won a title. Lakers kind of had to eat it for about a year. But then Kobe won a couple titles, and I felt like both of them won. Like, in the end, Shaq's had a great career. Shaq got another ring with D-Wade. And then Kobe had a great ending. Right. And it worked out well for everybody. The Russell Westbrook-Durant divorce, I mean, I think Kevin, when I watch him yesterday, I think he's got 7 years left of great player. Russell looks like a broken shooter. It looks like that post-surgery, something's upstairs. You can't go from 82% free throws to 64 and tell me some of it's not mental. What do you make of the Durant Westbrook? I mean, OKC at one point, not OKC will argue this, Matt. We didn't choose Westbrook. But organizations enable certain things, so they kind of do choose. The Lakers kind of chose Kobe over Shaq in their own way. What do you make of Durant and OKC and Westbrook and how it's landed?
It's a tough situation. You know, at the time, they were both two of the probably top five players in the game at the time. You know, I know, knowing both of them, I'm sure Russell is a more outgoing personality. So maybe they let some things slide that, you know, should have been addressed. But what I see from KD now is he's just happy. He's having fun. He's playing. He's probably the most efficient player, one of the most efficient players ever to play the game. I think it's safe to say he's the best player in the game right now.
Today, best player.
Doesn't make him better than LeBron overall. Just, you know, age is catching up with LeBron. KD is younger. He's the best player in the game right now. But I think what I like out of OKC and West right now is he's finally okay with being Robin. You know what I mean? And I think that's going to be huge for not only him, but the franchise, and especially Paul George. Paul George is playing out of his mind right now.
Out of his mind.
And should be, obviously, in the MVP consideration. But Westbrook is still special. You know, I think a lot of it is mental right now. And, you know, when you have the world telling you what you can and can't do, I like what he said. He has that gene. That's an important gene to have. That made me laugh. But I think Russell bounced back next year. But, I mean, it's no fault to OKC or whatever. Just KD is that good. And, you know, if they made a choice between the two and he was the one that chose, I think they're looking back like, okay, well, maybe we would have did it this way. But it's hard to say. In hindsight, it's 50-50.
You know, Matt, you said something, and I was talking to a friend about this the other day. And you said right now Kevin Durant's the better player. And I've always said there'll be a time when KD's better on the floor than LeBron, but not greater than LeBron in total.
It's a whole package.
Holistically.
When you judge in history and where they rank.
Right.
KD is a better player as we stand now.
And I'll throw this at you. And I noticed this with LeBron, that LeBron understands his body. You guys all know your bodies. LeBron doesn't have the continuous juice. He takes more time off. It's more sporadic. He picks his spot, especially on the defensive end. When you watch the two, where do you see LeBron's age?
I just think from a standpoint of, since he's been in the league in his Cleveland years, he's always carried the team. He's always carried the franchise. So, I mean, that's going to catch up to you, not only mentioning, you know, making the playoffs every year, playing the Olympics, playing on all-star games, pickup games in the summer. That's just a lot of wear and tear, and he came right out of high school. You know what I mean? So, KD, you got a year or two in college. You're not playing as many games. You get to save your legs. And then he's always had an amazing sidekick. Now he's got two amazing sidekicks, three when, you know, Boogie gets healthy. So, KD has been able to preserve himself. That's why you see him in the finals. He's at his absolute best where everyone else might be tired. KD is full of juice because he's only doing what he needs to do. You know, people talk about James Harden MVP, Paul George MVP. They have to be amazing every single night for those guys to win. Even though KD is pretty amazing every single night, if he has an off night, the Warriors can still win a game. So that's where KD is able to save his legs. So LeBron just has always had to do so much. And with the Laker team this year, it is no different. You know, I feel this Laker team in the East would be top three.
You do?
I think so. You know, maybe top four. Excuse me. Not to disrespect the top. You know, Toronto, Boston, Philly.
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. So maybe, you know, top five. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? But he's always been able to. He's always had to carry the franchise. And this year is no different. So I just think it's finally catching up to him. As much money as he spends and as much time as he takes off, there's no denying that he just has a lot of miles on his body.
You know, Anthony Davis, I didn't buy this. Anthony Davis said, 29 teams, I'm open to the world. Right. And my takeaway is, listen, you and Rich Paul in Clutch Sports came out hyper-aggressive, and the league didn't like it, and you got your hand slapped.
Right.
And now you're trying to play nice.
Backdraft, yeah.
He's
just trying to say what's right. So hopefully the story dies down a little bit. You know, like you said, I saw what you said earlier. I respect the fact that he came out and said what he said.
So
because Pelicans, don't build your team around me anymore because I don't want to be here. So
right. You
have to respect that. Now, whether, you know, Rich Paul went above and beyond and wanted a lot of attention in the situation and came out, and maybe they approached it the right way or the wrong way, excuse me. But I got to respect AD for being honest. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be here. You know, and I think when that happened, instead of putting their business hats on, like, let's make this deal, the Pelicans got in their feelings, and a GM was fired over that. You know, I'm glad the Lakers didn't make that trade because I thought they were giving up too much.
So did I.
You know, you're giving up way too much. You're never going to get an AD back. AD is a generational player, but you had five solid players with draft picks, and you turn your nose up to it. Like, you're not in a position to turn your nose up to a situation like that. You know what I mean? So it didn't work out. The GM got fired. But to me, they've been in their feelings, and now you're going to play him 20 minutes, 25 minutes, don't play him in the fourth. If you don't want him to get hurt, don't play him. But if you're going to play him, let him play. You know what I mean? Let him play.
If you ran the Pelicans, you could make an argument, just sit Anthony for the year.
I'm not mad at that, but if you're going to decide to play him, play him. You're putting Alvin Gentry in a messed up spot. You know, I know Al, good coach, and he's probably going to, you know, he's probably on the hot seat. He probably won't be back next year, and it's unfortunate because, to me, as the president of the team or whoever's running, calling the shots, if you want to save your piece, which is AD, and don't want to get, don't play him at all. But don't play him 15 minutes. Don't play him 25 minutes. Either play him or don't play him. But I think, you know, that situation is going to have to be dealt with this summer because it's an uncomfortable work environment. And I'm sure players are getting frustrated. Coaches are getting frustrated. AD's probably frustrated. So, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to have to make a move this summer on that situation.
Finally, something I mentioned. I said, if you were a supermodel, And then after 20 years of doing that, you've been reduced, even though you're beautiful, you've been reduced to going to the local mall at a fashion show. It doesn't feel the same. When you're LeBron and you're the centerpiece of the league, and you know for the next 30 games, this is not a championship team.
Right.
I mean, it's not close.
Mm-mm.
Is it hard to go to work?
I don't think it's hard to go to work. I think because he loves the game, but I think it's an understanding. And I think everyone's making a big deal with the Lakers make the playoffs. Will they not? The Lakers are they care about championships, not making the playoffs. You know what I mean? So if they make the playoffs this year, it'll probably be a short exit. You know, they'll probably end up playing Golden State. I think they know that they're really banking on this summer. And one thing I'd like to say, even if they don't get AD, it won't be a failed summer because I still feel they're going to get somebody, a player or two. Ideally, it would be AD. And, you know, I know AD wants to be there and LeBron wants him there. But if it's not AD, I think it'll be somebody. But I think they're looking for, you know, take a look at us next year and the year after and judge us. But unfortunately, we live in a society where you're judged every single day, and you're LA and you're the Lakers, so you're going to be judged. And like Joy said earlier, it's going to be a hot summer if they don't make the playoffs, and there's going to be a lot of criticism on LeBron. But I think he knew coming here there was a chance of that, and he has to be ready for it if it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Great seeing you, man. Love having you. Are you like a regular now? Can we depend on you?
I think so, yeah. I need to start getting my suits tailored. All my suits that I wore in games don't fit no more. I think I'm like 15 pounds over my playing weight, so I need to get some more suits so I can come back more.
This place is good with the clothes thing. So they'll take care of you.
Let's do it.
All right. Good seeing you, man.
Thank you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Albert Breer is writing an article, and he's writing about Kyler Murray. He is the quarterback for Oklahoma that's going to enter the draft. Now, I've said before, I think he's a first-round talent in 2019. You know, ideally, I'd rather have a 6'3.5", 220-pound guy who runs a little less. A big component to Kyler Murray's game is running. It's why I'm very cautious about Mitch Trubisky. I'm very cautious about Lamar Jackson. Now, Russell Wilson can do it. I've never seen anybody as gifted at Russell Wilson. And Steve Young did it. So you can have running as an essential part of your game, but I think athletes are bigger and stronger than ever in the NFL. I'd rather you not run a ton. You know, a couple times you take off, I'd rather you run to throw, run to get space. But three different people, scouts, GMs, talked to Albert Breer, and here were the quotes about Kyler Murray and why he is so valuable to all of us. First, AFC executive said, kid's way better than Lamar Jackson, better arm, more accurate, better anticipation, better processor, better athlete. I think he's better across the board than Lamar. Let me just say this. I think he is a better thrower than Lamar. That, to me, is not disputable, so I agree with that executive. Will he be as transformative as Lamar was? I don't know. But is he a better prospect? I think he is as a thrower. I do worry about his size. The second AFC college scouting director said, listen, he's really good. He throws the ball well. There's no throws he can't make. I don't think him being small is a big factor. Let me address that. Small is a factor, but I had Lincoln Riley on the radio Friday talking about his size, and here's what his college coach said.
Athletically, there's no comparison to this guy. I mean, this is like Barry Sanders running with the football as a quarterback. I'm not saying he's as good a runner as Barry Sanders, but a guy that has elite speed, elite quickness, and has a feel for not taking big hits when he runs. Even though he ran more than Baker did, he took way, way less hits because he is so athletically gifted that he just avoids them. He just doesn't take big shots, and he's smart about it as well.
Then Albert Breer got a third opinion from another AFC executive. And that executive said, basically, a little caution to the wind, saying, great offensive line, hasn't been hit a ton, the passing skills are there, but he didn't get hit much in college. I agree with that as well. That's what worries me. But here's the thing, and we do this a lot, not just in sports, but in life. We're always looking for the next blank. You also have to look for the new blank. Uber is not the next taxi. It's a new way to get around town. We had an issue in the NFL for years that 50% of the first round quarterbacks were busts because they all had to fit this one prototype. 6'3.5", 225, stay in the pocket. But the more variables that work, the more types of quarterbacks that work, we should root for Kyler Murray because it'll mean fewer crappy quarterbacks and fewer dead teams. Cincinnati with Andy Dalton kind of feels dead. Jacksonville, Blake Bortles kind of feels dead. If Kyler Murray works, I mean, let's be honest, he looks like a punt returner. When I look at him, I think he'd be a great punt returner. If guys that play a little bit like a punt returner with an arm work, that is a huge win for all of us if you love football. It's a huge win for GMs, fewer busts, coaches, fewer busts, fans, better product. So I find myself, he may not be my ideal quarterback, but God, I'm rooting for him to win. God, I'm rooting for him to be interesting. There's got to be more than one prototype that works in this league. Listen, Trubisky wouldn't be my guy, but Mitch Trubisky got to the playoffs. And Lamar Jackson wouldn't be my guy, but Lamar Jackson got to the playoffs. You know who didn't? Joe Flacco. Sit in the pocket, 6'3 and a half guy that throws darts. So Kyler Murray, like, even if you wouldn't draft him, root for him. I was saying this, driving to work this morning, thinking this. The great thing about Whole Foods, you don't have to like organic. Sometimes I think it's overrated. Sometimes I like it. I think it's a bit too expensive. But it's important that Whole Foods worked because it added another type of grocery store. And all I'm looking for is options. That's all I'm looking for. If I was a general manager in the NFL, I'm just looking for options. What if we only had one type of receiver? He runs fast and straight down the field. We don't. Sometimes you have possession guys, slot guys, small guys, OBJ, finesse guys, power guys.
Right. There's really the only position that you would think of, well, positions, is the offensive line. Like, in general, you got to have a big, large,
big butt,
strong offensive line.
Long
it's
arms.
Not really interchangeable.
Right.
But even on the defensive line, they don't necessarily have to be the same.
Aaron Donald's 6 feet tall. That's all he is. He's 6 feet tall. He's not towering. Some guys are, like, to your point, we should all be rooting for Kyler Murray, because if I, for the rest, next 50 years, if I can also use 5'8 quarterbacks who look like punt returners, you guys
imagine the talent pool you've just expanded into.
Oh, exactly. The talent pool explodes. That's all I want. Steph Curry was a mold breaker. Steph Curry. Russell Wilson was a mold breaker. Tiger Woods. Golfers weren't ripped. Now it's like Tiger competes against himself.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we do it every Monday at this time. I make mistakes. I whiff. I have strong opinions. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, let's not waste any time.
Where Colin was right?
Luke Walton shouldn't be fired, and Jeannie Buss stepped up and rightly said Luke Walton's finishing the season as a Laker coach. Listen, LeBron arrives, and there's always tension with the coach. He got to the finals with David Blatt. He got to the finals with Ty Lue, and he got to the finals with Mike Brown. I think Luke Walton is maybe not as good as Ty Lue, but he's certainly in that class of coach. And I think Jeannie Buss is saying, okay, all you alpha males, okay, all you egos, I'm with Jeannie on this one. LeBron is not easy to coach. By the way, Kobe maybe wasn't, and MJ wasn't, and Magic ran out Paul Westhead. I'm not saying superstars are easy to coach. I'm not being tough on LeBron here. But Luke Walton, and I totally defend him here, do you really want to blow him out and bring in, with all these young players, another coach? And who's on the market right now that's significantly better? Jason Kidd? Are you sure Jason Kidd? Why is he on the market if he's so great? Let me ask you that. Didn't he just... If he's so great, why is he potentially out there? Luke Walton should be the Laker coach for the rest of the year. Jeannie Buss made the right decision.
Where Colin was wrong.
Outside of the baseball All-Star game, I think these All-Star games are mostly totally unwatchable, but I thought yesterday was pretty good. There was actual pride. I know the score feels like nobody played defense, but late in the game, people played defense. I thought the dunk contest Saturday night was the best dunk contest in a long, long time. I thought the skills challenge was kind of oddly entertaining. And I also think the NBA, with the stars picking the teams, is really funny and very transparent. I thought the All-Star weekend was a lot of joy, a lot of laughs. I thought the dunk contest, that's about as good a dunk contest as we have seen in a long time. And it, as a television product, I thought it was pretty good.
Where Colin was right?
Listen, I've been saying it this year. Russell Westbrook's a Hall of Famer, but is he an All-Star right now? Because I watched that game yesterday. He's like the least effective player. He had a minus 19 plus minus. He was 1 for 8 on threes. He was like throwing garlic into an apple pie. Some ingredient. He was the ingredient that just did not work. And again, he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not denying that. And he was an MVP, and I'm not denying that. But is he an all-star right now? Is he? Are you absolutely sure? Because I see a bunch of great players out there. And I thought yesterday he kind of played into what I think he is now. A lot of energy. Not always the... It's sometimes ill-placed activity instead of smart activity. And I thought yesterday Giannis was on his way to winning the MVP and Westbrook came in and sort of blew it for him.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, I thought the Celtics rebuild, if you made a book called Rebuilding for Dummies, you do it the way the Celtics did it. Get the coach, draft the right guys. I got to be honest with you. Right now, they're fourth in the East. Jason Tatum came out this weekend and guaranteed they're going to win it all. And then Jason Tatum a week ago came out and there were rumors he said, I wouldn't mind playing for the Pelicans. And Kyrie Irving's hurt again. And, you know, Brad Stevens, the head coach, do we know that he works with stars? Now, Gordon Hayward did play better last four or five games before the All-Star break. But this situation in Boston does not feel as rock solid as it did. I predicted before the year, I said, this team's going to win the championship. They're going to upset the Warriors in seven games. Right now, I think Toronto's better. I think Philadelphia, I agree with Joy. I think they have more high-end players if they can get their chemistry right. And Boston isn't, going forward, isn't the lock I thought they would be.
Where Colin was right.
Bryce Harper and Manny Machado were great baseball players. But they're unsigned right now. And they will sign, and they'll make a lot of money. But finally, baseball general managers have caught on to an obvious truth. None of these 10-year contracts work. Miguel Cabrera signed for 8. They'd get out of that thing yesterday. Robinson Cano, Albert Pujols, Joey Votto. Now, these guys will get money and they'll get paid, but GMs now, 90% of the teams have no interest signing star players. These are great players. I mean, Manny Machado's giving you 37 rips. He's giving you 110 RBI, and he plays every game. Doesn't play hard every moment, but and Bryce Harper's an all-time first-ballot Hall of Fame power hitter. Finally, baseball GMs, I don't buy into this collusion. It's just called intelligence. That if something doesn't work, then you stop doing the something. And 10-year contracts, in what industry would... I don't care if it was Giannis. I wouldn't sign Giannis to a 10-year contract, because what if he rips his knee up dunking in year 4 of it? You're trapped for 6 years.
Where Colin was wrong.
Golfer Matt Kuchar folded like a cheap tent. Friday, I supported him. I did a radio show only, and I said, listen, he's a little cheap. He won a tournament and only gave his caddy $5,000, which is a very small percentage, but he offered him $15,000, and frankly, it wasn't a full-time caddy. It was a part-time caddy. He was a rent-a-caddy, not somebody he leaned on like, you know, Phil Mickelson leaned on Bones or Jordan Spieth leans on his caddy. Now, I would have paid more than an extra $1,000 for winning a tournament, and I probably would have given him $25,000 to $50,000, but I thought the outrage on social media was generally what social media is, just over the top. But Kuchar felt the heat. Literally Saturday morning got up and said, I'm a horrible person. I cringed and I'm sorry and I'm writing the dude a check, which is the nice thing to do. But I was surprised. I thought Matt Kuchar had an opinion, not a popular one, wouldn't be what I would do. But he's known as a pretty tough, you know, strong opinion dude. And he folded Saturday morning. Couple of days of Twitter and Matt Kuchar was out.
Where Colin was right.
So I watched the American Alliance of Football again yesterday, AAF, and I got to be honest, on television, it was a pretty good product. I got legitimate announcers. I got coaches, Mike Riley, Steve Spurrier yesterday, guys I've heard of. I think the quarterback plays decent. You know, it's better than college. It's better than Canadian football.
I love that backwards.
Yes.
Lob pass.
And by the way, the game I watched, there was a nice crowd in San Antonio. There's something there.
You can't have both. Both teams need different color jerseys.
Yeah, that was odd.
That's got to fix.
But I'll tell you something. I'll say with this. I think spring football is going to work, and I am more convinced every time I watch this league. I'm absolutely convinced spring football is going to work. Now, the XFL is going to be introduced a year from now, so you'll have two concurrent leagues running, and I'm not sure if they'll both make it. But either they're both going to make it or they're going to join and one's going to make it. But the quality on television, it's not half bad.
I think the XFL is going to have a different approach. They're going to be more theatrical.
A little bit.
I mean, if they're going to keep any of their traditional original XFL style.
Yeah.
So.
And where Colin was right.
I always told you I love Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal is the most underrated player in the NBA. And Bradley Beal... thank you. Admitted. All he did this weekend, recruit guys. For the record, his teammate John Wall, who I'm not a fan of, refuses to recruit. It's an ego thing. Bradley Beal's like, you kidding me? It's like a convention here. It's all I'm doing, recruiting guys. Folks, the tampering charges against players are unfair, unjust, and ridiculous. Listen, man, I was on the phone the minute I landed at Fox Sports 1 calling anybody who would listen. That's what everybody's doing in the country. I don't care if it's Wall Street or Main Street. And you're going to tell me you're going to have an all-star weekend. Guys are partying together, playing together, hanging out together, and they can't have conversations about, hey, dude, you want to come to D.C.? You want to come to San Francisco? You want to come to Phoenix? You want to come to Charlotte? I love that Bradley Beal did this. It confirms what I've always thought about Bradley Beal. He is a complete get-it guy. Bradley, you keep recruiting. Don't listen to the tampering. I don't know how many people DC can afford with Wall's contract and your contract. I don't know how many stars you can get there, and I'm not sure if it'll ever happen, but it made me love Bradley Beal even more. This tampering stuff is ridiculous. If you want to get on the owners and GMs, I get it. But getting on players for it? Give me a break. Unfair. I think it's just an anti-LeBron thing, to be honest with you. I think, you know, you NBA... commissioners and you NBA owners, you gas up all the players, you make them stars, and then you're shocked everybody wants to talk and hang out with stars. Well, that's the league. Of course guys won't play with James Harden. Of course guys won't play with Anthony Davis. I mean, you market the stars, come watch the stars, be with the stars. Yeah, guys, even players want to hang out with the stars. It's not tampering, it's reality.